Well, I appreciate your prayers this morning. Need the Lord's help. Written on the board, the word counteroffensive. A little thought, burden I feel like the Lord's given me to share with you this morning. A counteroffensive is a large-scale military offensive undertaken by a force previously on the defensive with the objective to negate or thwart the advantage gained by the enemy during attack, to regain lost ground, or destroy or disarm the attacking enemy. Counteroffensive is a military term. It's a military tactic. And I want to think about for a moment what we are very aware of right now, this date. It's going on in our world today. In Ukraine, we've observed the attack of a nation by another nation. In our modern time, where news travels the globe in a matter of moments, seconds, minutes, it's readily available for everybody to observe. Well, warfare has gone on as long just about as mankind have partaken of sin. But we're observers to the extent that we follow or track what's going on, what's happening in this battle. We have a nation who, by just about all accounts, is much superior in terms of military might, force, capability, sheer numbers. So thinking about what's going on in Ukraine, and it's not a focus for us to consider world events. We can get discouraged in a hurry when you focus on world events. It doesn't take very long following the news to get discouraged and fearful. But I look at that from afar and I see a nation who, again, by just about any account, is far superior. It's got much more equipment, people at their disposal who are willing or unwilling, but conscripted at a minimum to fight, and invading a much inferior people, military force in Ukraine. We've seen that the world as a whole, by and large, is rallied behind the cause of the Ukrainian people. Not many that are willing or interested in intervening directly. And history is still being written on this as we speak. When we see people that look on and observe, and there's an outcry, there's a sense of this isn't right. There are many people who are rallying behind the Ukrainian people that are pulling for the Ukrainians, that are cheering the Ukrainians on. And there has been stories of resistance that was perhaps even stronger than what they were credited for. I remember the outlook at the start of it was they expected the city of Kyiv to fall within perhaps a matter of days or by the weekend of that first week. Well, it still hasn't. It's a terrible thing that's going on there right now that's unfolding, but the invading force has been met with a will of the people. It's been met with a resolve and a determination that hasn't yet been broken, that has caused them to rise up, and there have been accounts and stories of counter-offensive operations, times whenever they've shot down aircraft or they've taken out enemy positions, and the world is cheering them on. Well, I want to be clear, that's not our fight. And I'm not just talking about Americans. That is not our fight as a people of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is not the kind of conflict that God's children are to engage in. It is not our calling, it's not our cause to take up arms and bear arms in an earthly cause. But the song that we sang said we've got a cause that we're fighting for. And the cause that we're fighting for is against principalities and powers and spiritual darkness. It's against the enemy of our souls, who, it might appear sometimes, feels like an overwhelming force, feels like a superior force, or it might appear that way. That's why the lion roars, is to try to bring a sense of intimidation and cowardice over the prey. But I want us this morning to be encouraged to know that the enemy is a defeated foe. That Satan, though he may appear to be greater than we, and I think it's safe to say that he is greater than any one of us. But if Christ be in us, the devil is a defeated foe. He is the underdog in the fight. The enemy wants us to forget that. Whenever he comes with guns a-blazing, so to speak, whenever he comes with his accusations, whenever he comes with his shock and awe tactics that are designed to cause us to just draw back and in fear of what the enemy is doing, to remember that the enemy, he's a bunch of bluster. He is a defeated foe. Like to look at the book of Nehemiah. Consider here a story in Israel's history. Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. This is the account, the book of Nehemiah, of his burden to rebuild the walls of the city that had been destroyed and torn down by the enemy. And so he set about and he gained permission to go about that, and he set about it. Well, if you'll remember, the enemy laughed them to scorn, said it's not possible, you can't do it, but they started doing it. You know, whenever the enemy is going about saying, you can't do it, you know the thing to do is just by the grace of God do it. So they began building the walls. It came to pass, the fourth chapter, that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. You know what the enemy was wanting to do here? To get them so discouraged in the work. People are laughing at us. They're saying it can't be done. Well, you know, it is a big undertaking here. Well, what if we can't do it? The enemy wanted to distract them. And you know, the enemy has distraction techniques, and he has discouragement techniques. And he carries around this arsenal with him that he'll pull out an old... There's nothing new under the sun. The enemy will recycle and reuse his same old tricks and tactics over and over again. I believe it's important for us, as I think Paul said, that we are not ignorant of his devices. That we know what the enemy is about, what he wants to do, and have a discernment and understanding of where the enemy is trying to work. You know, they didn't just give in and give up. They kept building. But they prayed to their defender. I want us to remember today that the Lord is our defender. We don't have a hope against the enemy and ourselves and our own strength. But whenever the enemy comes against us like a flood, we need the Spirit of the Lord to lift up a standard against the enemy. And the Lord is able to do just that. They went and they told the Lord on those people. You notice they didn't even stop the work that they were doing. They sicked the Lord on him and said, Lord, would you turn this reproach? Lord, would you turn this situation around? Lord, would you turn this back on their own heads? You know, that's what a counteroffensive is. And I want us to take courage today that the Lord does not want his people to be a people who are just cowered in a corner in defense mode. It is important for us to be on defense. There is no winning a war without defense. You know, I believe the Lord wants us to go even further than that. I believe the Lord wants us to turn the devil on his heels by his grace and by his help. It came to pass, 7th verse, when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth and conspired all of them together and to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. You know, the enemy is diametrically opposed to the work of God. The enemy will not allow one inch of ground that we take to go uncontested. The enemy will contest us every step of the way. The enemy will come and fight against us. We make a little bit of progress and the enemy is going to be right there to attack us and to try to tear that down, to try to bring that down. They tried by ridicule first. It didn't work. They then began threatening, now it's time for us to go up and fight against them. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Oh, Lord, help us to be on our guard against the enemy of our souls. Napoleon Bonaparte was quoted as having said, the greatest danger occurs at the moment of victory. And I want us to think about that, and we might touch on it a little bit more. How can that be? The greatest danger occurs at the moment of victory. Don't ever let down your guard against the enemy of your souls. The scripture says, take heed, he that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. There is never a moment in the Christian life that we can afford to just say to our soul, soul, take your ease, relax a little bit. And it's not that we're always just uptight and tense, but we've got to be on our guard against the enemy of our souls. He is wily. He is deceptive. He is intent on our spiritual destruction. He is also a defeated foe. He has to rely on underhanded tactics. He cannot afford to go face to face against the forces of heaven. He's already done that and lost. He can't win that way. And so he goes about the battle through diversionary and underhanded and sneaky ways, or trying to get us off of our guard so that he can sneak in and get the advantage over us. But they made their prayer unto the Lord. And I'm not going to read all this for the sake of time, but as you read throughout this account, and you see they still didn't even stop in the work. they still didn't allow this to distract them from the work that the Lord had set them to do. But it says every one of them wrought one hand in the work and the other hand held a weapon. We've got to be on our defense, and we've got to continue moving forward with the work God has given us to do, to be on offense. I'd like to look at Isaiah, the 28th chapter. Isaiah chapter 28, the 5th verse. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. It's saying the Lord will be to us what we need. If we're in the place of sitting in the seat of judgment, the Lord will give us wisdom. He gave Solomon wisdom to be able to rule, and to understanding to be able to rule over those people. The Lord will give us what we need in the time that we need it. The Lord will lead us to a place that His grace will not keep us or enable us to be what He wants us to be. The Lord will be there to be our diadem, our crown, our judgment when we need judgment. And He said He'll be our strength to those who are, if I can insert the word, willing to turn the battle to the gate. Now I want us to get a picture of what I believe this is illustrating. To turn the battle to the gate. And there are instances you can read in the Old Testament of this. The invading army is coming in with the intent and the purpose to overrun your city. You see them coming. You've got to defend your city. But turning the battle to the gate is not about just repelling them as they're trying to climb the walls of the city. It's not about only keeping them out. You've got to do that. But turning the battle to the gate means I'm actually going to turn and start pursuing the enemy. I'm not going to just be in defense, repel. I start there. But I'm going to, by the grace and the help of the Lord, I'm going to pursue this. I'm going to take this all the way until I gain victory in this thing. I'm going to pursue the enemy here. I'm not just going to have, well, I believe Zelensky. And again, understand, I don't want to glorify earthly warfare. But I want to draw the connection of where people recognize valor in a person. Whenever he told the adversary, "You'll see my face, but you'll not see my back." Folks, there's a greater cause. If people can rise in courage to an earthly cause, oh Lord, help us to rise in courage to a spiritual cause. To purpose in our hearts, Satan, you're not going to see my back. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. And to turn the battle to the gate means I begin pursuing, and I'm not going to let up until I've turned them all the way back to where they belong, to where they came from. Turning the battle to the gate. It also means that phrase, to turn the tide of battle. You know, morale is a big, big part of warfare. It's a big part of battle. Whenever there is a perception of defeat, whenever there is a perception of being at a disadvantage, it can affect morale. It's not just in battle, even in sports. Playing a game of basketball with somebody or whatever it is, tennis, and you're at a disadvantage, it can affect the morale and the drive to put everything into this. Well, Looks like I'm losing anyway. Well, this one's gone. This one's over. This one's... And you ever have the devil come along and whisper those kind of things? Well, this battle's lost. Well, you're going to lose this one. Well, you're not going to be... And all those things that the devil whispers and threatens and roars. Lord, help us to be on our guard against a sense of inevitability. That's what comes sometimes whenever you're an underdog in the fight, or it seems to be that way. When it seems like you're losing, it can feel like it's inevitable that this battle is going to be lost. And that's the time when it's so easy to say, I'm out of here. I'm leaving this city. I'm going to go find refuge. Or I'm going to go ahead and raise the white flag here. This battle's lost. But a counteroffensive is an effort that says we're going to launch an effect to counteract what's happening here. We're going to launch an offensive move to disarm the enemy, to negate the advantage that the enemy has here, to turn the battle to the gate. I'd like to consider a couple examples here in Scripture. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. First Samuel 17 and 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. Well, that's a pretty good place to be in. Whenever you're the one chasing, and the enemy is the one turning tail and running. And he ran them all the way back to Gath. You remember where Goliath was from? He turned and ran them all the way back to their city. But I want you to remember, that's not what was happening that morning. That's not what had been happening the last month. When old Goliath had been out there showing himself day after day, threatening and challenging and jeering at them and all of that, they weren't pursuing then. Until David came in the name of the Lord. David ran. We're familiar with the story, smote him with a stone from a sling. Therefore David ran, this is the verse preceding the one we just read, and stood upon the Philistine and took out his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And that's when the men of Israel, looking on the situation and assessing, realize, you know what? Victory is ours. Let's go. And let's pursue after them. But it required somebody, even in the face of certain death, it looked like, to say, no, in the name of the Lord, I'm going to go in the very face of the enemy here. Because he's defying the God of Israel. And his faith was in the Lord. It wasn't in his armor. It wasn't in the sword. He said, you take that. I haven't tried that. My faith is in the Lord God. And he took that little stone and sling and a big old heap of faith. And he confronted Goliath and he defeated him. And then the battle turned. The tide of the battle turned. And they began pursuing a counteroffensive. He took Goliath's own sword. I'd like to look at 2 Samuel, 23rd chapter. Second Samuel 23 and 20th verse. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. And he went down to him with a staff. Now, is a staff a good counter weapon to a spear? Probably no more than a stone and a sling is before the armor and the weaponry of Goliath. But this mighty man went down. He had his staff, which is just used in walking and herding sheep and all of that. He took what was in his hand. And that's all that he had. And he went up against this mighty man of war. And he plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. He turned the battle to the gate. Oh, I pray the Lord will inspire us and encourage us. I believe that there are times that the enemy comes against us. Many are the times that the enemy will come against us. If you haven't faced Satan lately, might ought to examine. One, am I being watchful? This might be a tactic of the enemy to distract me. Or maybe I'm just kind of going along with the flow. Because the child of God is going to withstand withering attacks from the enemy. Again, the enemy is not going to let one bit of ground go uncontested. He's going to fight, if we can say, tooth and nail for every bit of territory that I'm going to lay claim to. So many are the times that the accuser of the brethren will launch an assault against us. You know, I believe there are times when the Lord would like to give us the wisdom, the know-how, the grace, and the courage to be able to turn and face the devil. Again, not in our strength. And it requires the Lord to help us to know how to do this in our specific battle, in our specific situation. I can't tell you how to do this in whatever battle you might be facing now. But I know the enemy comes against us with the purpose of destroying us. And I believe the Lord would like us to come and in faith, in courage, to face the enemy and pluck from his hand the very thing that he intends for my destruction and use that thing to his disadvantage. I believe the Lord can do that. I've seen the Lord do that. The enemy will come along and bring something that he thinks, ha, this is going to be it. And he brings that up against a watchful, prayerful saint of God who goes to the Lord and takes it to the Lord in prayer. Who was the king that received the letter? And he went and he spread it out before the Lord and said, Lord, you, in other words, you read this letter, Lord. We don't have any might against the enemy. And the Lord turned the battle. You remember whenever Joseph's brothers conspired against him. The end of that story, not the end, but whenever that story turned around and they knew then their brother Joseph was the second in command of Egypt and the one who had spared their lives. They were fearful. Joseph calmed him and said, brethren, it's all right. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The Lord took the spear. He took the thing that was meant for their destruction. He took the thing that was meant for their downfall. For Joseph's downfall, he took that very same thing and he used that against the enemy. He used that against what the enemy was trying to accomplish. And if we are in the Lord's hands, trusting in Him and looking to Him, I believe the Lord can take those things that seem bound for our destruction. And he can take and cause those very things to be what strengthens us in the Lord. One song, it says something about, "'Twill but drive thee closer to his breast." You know, that's the last thing the enemy wants to happen. The last thing the enemy wants is our battles and our struggles to drive us to the Lord. You know, that's called victory. Whenever the enemy is bringing something, and I say in my distress, through my tears, "Lord, I need a closer walk with you. Lord, I need to be more like you. Lord, there's some dross here that I want to take care of." You know, that's taking what the enemy brought to say, honed in on Clint. This is going to be what I undo him with. And it's taking that and the outcome of it. The Lord can bring us into a wealthy place. Then now I come out and I've been seeking the Lord and I've been drawing closer to the Lord. And the devil hates it. The devil can't contest that. But that's how I believe the Lord wants to take those things that are meant for our destruction. And he wants to take and turn that so that it's actually the means of our spiritual growth. The exact opposite of what the enemy is wanting to do. The Lord is able to accomplish that in our lives. 485 song in our hymnal says, "Enemies may strive to injure, Satan all his arts employ." That's quite a few, isn't it? All of his tactics. When Satan tried his worst to do, another song said, "The Lord was by my side, I knew." When Satan all his arts employ, he will turn what seems to harm me into everlasting joy. He will hide me. Oh, we need the Lord to fight our battles for us. We need the Lord to give us the grace and the strength and the understanding to know how to turn the battle to the gate. I'd like to look at another account here in 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter. 1 Samuel 14. The Philistines were at it again. They had had the, seemed like the people on the run, and there was a time even when the children of Israel were hiding in the caves, places for their own sparing of their own life. It looked like they had the disadvantage. They were on the run. They didn't have the upper hand here. I believe there's a scripture where Paul said, "Lest Satan get an advantage over us." The Lord doesn't mean for us to be at the disadvantage when at our disposal is the grace of God. And greater is he, the realization of the fact, greater is he that is in you. Wasn't it Pilgrim and or Christian and Pilgrim's Progress? He was down on the ground and it felt like it was over. The enemy is towering over him and threatening, and it's all over now. And it's been a while since I read that passage. I don't remember all the wording of it, but it's over now. And there came to his mind, there was a glimmer of encouragement that said, just reach out and grasp the sword. And with trembling hand, he reached out and grasped it, and with renewed courage, he moved forward against the enemy, and he gained the victory against him. The enemy, again, he is the one at a disadvantage when we turn to the Lord. And when we have the courage and the strength to grasp hold of the promises of God, to say, "No, you will not triumph over me." Folks, in the name of Jesus, the song says, In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. Who can stand before me when we call on His great name? Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Satan has to flee. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Anyway, here, passage that I wanted to read, it seemed that the children of Israel were losing. We're at a disadvantage. And it came to pass upon a day, just another day like any other. Philistines are still there. The battle's still before us. Still looks as discouraging as ever. No reason to think this day is going to be any better than the others. It came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor. I wonder what it was that sparked in Jonathan's mind. But he said unto his armor bearer, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Kind of a foolish thing to do in your own strength. But it says, well, Saul tarried in the uttermost parts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him, about 600 men. Fourth verse, and between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over against the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sina. The forefront of the one was situate northward over across against Michmash, and the other southward against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. His faith had caught hold to realize it's not about how many people we have. It's not about the counting the number that's with my father and counting the number that's up there. This is about the Lord. If the Lord go with us, and if the Lord fight for us, Lord, if you help me with this situation, then victory is mine. And so he said, it's nothing with the Lord, whether by few or by many. The Lord doesn't need our strength. The Lord doesn't need our wisdom. He doesn't need us to direct the battle. The Lord is the captain of our salvation. He doesn't need us directing the battle. He needs us to be willing in the battle. He needs us to have faith and courage in the battle, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, to say, Lord, this battle is mine by the grace of God. And so he said unto him, let's go. Let's go up. And the rest of the story, the Lord turned the battle. The Lord turned the tide of the battle by this young man who had courage and belief and faith in God that he was able to turn that situation around. I don't believe the Lord wants us to be on the run from the devil. I don't believe the Lord wants us to be... There are times for us to kind of hunker down and seek the Lord. But I don't believe the Lord wants our lives to be a continual... Well, I can't go over there, or the devil will, I can't, or the devil will, I can't do this, or it'll upset the devil. I believe the Lord wants us to rise in courage. And I remember a time in my life that I felt pretty discouraged. It seemed like I didn't have the upper hand. Felt like I had not been as victorious as I needed to be. Remember we had gone out to Colorado. I remember it just seemed like this was kind of piling up on me, and I was enjoying the trip and all, of course, but I got away by myself. I was crying out to the Lord and asking for his help. And I remember the Lord so clearly brought a verse of song to my mind. If I can remember which song it is now. Take up thy strength and rise. Yes, thank you. Put on thy strength, O Zion, rise, and fix thy trust above the skies. Move out on faith's almighty plain. Through him that loved us, dare to reign. And I remember as that song came into my mind, there came with it courage. There came with it renewed determination that I don't have to be in this place. You remember whenever the Israelites had lost the battle of Ai. This was to be an easy one. They thought they had this one in the bag. Again, I'd go back to take heed he that thinks he stands lest he fall. They thought they had it in the bag and they were put to shame. And Joshua falls on his face before the Lord as he should have. And he spent time there just begging the Lord. But you know the time came when the Lord said, Joshua, get up from off your face. Get up. You've got work to do. You've got battles to win. You've got victories to claim. Joshua, it's time to get up, to rise up. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord will come along and he'll nudge us, tap us on the shoulder. It's okay. You and me, we got this. You don't have to cow down. You don't have to just accept this from the devil. Lord, help us to not accept what the devil brings to us. To not just accept what the devil tries to dump on us. Or the accusations. And when the devil tries to project out into the future. I was kind of doing some of that there in Colorado thinking about. Through eyes of discouragement. It was a dark picture. Until the Lord said, put on thy strength, O Zion, rise. And fix thy trust above the skies. About out of time, but I want to remind us of a story in 1 Samuel 30. This was the time that David and his men were out of the city. They were, I believe, engaged in battle of their own. And they came back to a city in flames, smoke rising. Women and children had been taken captive and no longer in the city. And the people then turned on David, talked of killing him. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and he set out pursuing. He didn't just accept the defeat, but he set out pursuing after the ones that had done this. If you read the story through there in 1 Samuel 30, David went to recover the stuff, the women and the children, and the Lord directed him. The Lord led him to the place and gave him victory, and he was able to recover that which the enemy had stolen. I want to ask us today, are we gaining ground? Have we gained ground in this spiritual warfare? If we find ourselves in place, we realize the enemy has been taken advantage. I've lost some ground. You know, I kind of lost that battle. You know, the Lord wants us to put on our strength, to seek His face, and to start out pursuing. Lord, I want to recover. Remember, that's part of the definition that I read of a counter-offensive, to negate or thwart the advantage gained by the enemy during his attack, and to regain lost ground. Lord, I want to regain some spiritual ground and some territory here that the enemy's been encroaching on a little bit, that the enemy's been trying to take back from me. As Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles 30, I believe, Lord, you see how they're come against us to cast us out of our inheritance. Lord, they're come to take from us what you've given us. Lord, I don't have any might against this enemy. We don't know what to do. And the Lord said, set yourselves. Don't turn and run. But you set yourselves, be determined, and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. I want to encourage you. Set yourself. Be determined, and we'll see the salvation of the Lord. There's a place in the 8th chapter of Judges where it said, in another place that the God's people were pursuing the enemy. It said they were faint, yet pursuing. And I've always appreciated that. You know, we're going to have our moments of feeling faint. We're not always going to feel this just swelling courage within us. We're not always going to feel like we have the upper hand. We're not always going to feel like we're some hero of faith. But though they were faint, they were still putting one foot in front of the other, pursuing after the enemy. Lord, help us to yet pursue, to turn the battle to the gate. Lord, I still intend and purpose by the grace of God. I'm gonna claim more ground. I'm not done. I've been saved however many years. I'm not done. Lord, I need some more ground. I need some more territory. I need to push back the enemy even and further in other areas of my life to pursue. Put on thy strength, O Zion, rise. Lord, help us to bring heaven's arsenal to bear in this spiritual warfare that we're in. The enemy may accuse us of being the underdog. It's just a matter of time until you're defeated. May I remind you, the enemy's a liar. He is an accuser of the brethren, and he is defeated. And the scripture says that God shall put him under our feet presently. Lord, help us to always, through the grace and the strength of God, turn the battle to the gate, to launch counter offensives against the enemy of our soul, that we can be, by the grace of God, more than conquerors. You pray for me.